The Fan on Demand.
We're back. You ready? Tim and Sid. Hour number three. Swell.
This is Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Score Television Network. I am Tim McAuliffe. He is Sid Sixero. Together, we are the aptly named Tim and Sid. Still to come, the Ravens are at the White House today. We talked to Brendan Iambadesio about attempting to get Barack Obama to perhaps do the Ray Ray dance.
If not, Joe Biden.
And or get involved with any dogs in the house. Do you think that either and or both occur? Do you like the way I did any dogs in the house?
You did it like Obama might, like professionally.
Yes. Ooh.
Any dogs in the house?
I would love to see Obama just get into that like circle. There's like bouncing off dudes and have Ray Ray do it for real.
Can you imagine he goes off the rails? Ray Ray, come down here. What happened in that Super Bowl? The one we want? No, the other one.
The one when you're in the limo.
He goes there with Ray Ray. He's like, we're going to answer this right now.
Yeah. I'm not talking about deer antlers.
I'm trying to get a gun control bill passed. We are talking about this. Probably not going to happen.
I don't think it goes over well.
No, I don't think it goes over well at all. So we got the Jays at the bottom of the clock here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Barry Zito, R.A. Dickey, two of the best in other years.
Right.
Not this one.
Not this one, but other years. They were really good.
So we will slip to Sportsnet590.ca, remain on the Score Television Network at that time. But we do have baseball coming up. We have hockey coming up tonight. And it's not, to quote Justin Williams of the Kings the other day, it's not really do or die, but it kind of is for the Pittsburgh Penguins this evening. Rob Rossi, Pittsburgh Tribune Review, joins us before a massive game three tonight. Rob, welcome back to Tim and Sid. How you doing?
I'm better than the Penguins, guys.
Where to begin, Rob? We know Vokoun is going in. Any other lineup changes that you have a hunch may or may not happen? Maybe on that really bad blue line, another guy going in. Is it going to be status quo for game three lineup-wise?
I would rule nothing out in terms of him making switches. I do think this is one of those cases where we're going to see a game-time decision from Dan on some things. But I will say that without the guys participating in the skate at full sort of squad level today, it was tough to tell. I got the hunch they were going to try to put Jerome McGinley on the right wing somewhere. I wrote today in the Trib, I thought the best fit for him at this point might be UC Jokinen and Brendan Morrow and Jerome McGinley. That's a pretty good line for the Penguins at the end of the season when Crosby and Malkin were hurt. And for what it's worth, and Malkin and McGinley did not skate today, Brandon Sutter was working at the center where right winger was James Neal and left winger was Matt Cook. My guess is they might consider moving Matt Cook to the second line and use him in the Chris Kunitz role with Malkin and Neal, figuring that if Crosby is going to basically be held in check, and the Bruins are certainly taking great strides to do that, you need to have Malkin, who's been pretty good at times in this series. You need to sort of have him have the space to free himself so that he can find Neal with that shot.
It's interesting, and the back line is taking a lot of heat in this, but when you're the highest scoring team in the regular season, when you average, you know, what, 4.25 goals per game through the first two rounds of the series, you expect more offense from this team, especially when the power play was clicking at the level that it was before this series. Is there anything that you can point to outside of Chara versus Crosby to say this is why they've struggled?
Yeah, I really don't think it's been all Chara versus Crosby.
Right.
I think Bergeron's contributed to that. I think Chara's played very well in this series. My big thing, I thought going into this series, it would be the Penguins' ability to move the puck versus Boston's forecheck. And I thought going in that if you looked at the way the Penguins play, quick D-to-D passes and getting it through the neutral zone, and that thus opening up those sort of home run passes, if they were able to do that, Boston would be in grave, grave danger of being run out of the building, skated out of the building, as it were. Now, what we've seen is the Penguins have been making poor decisions with the puck when it's been on the sticks of their defensemen. That has screwed up their entire breakout and allowed Boston to really aggressively win on the forecheck. It looks to me like the long stretch passes are there. And the Penguins have had success over the years, particularly in Boston for whatever reason, of connecting on those stretch passes. And if they're able to just do that and just create some scoring chances, you would think it would change the way the Bruins are allowed to play. But they have to make smarter decisions. And I think, well, Crosby's taking a ton of heat. Malkin's taking some pressure. The goaltending's been under sort of a brutal attack here in Pittsburgh. To me, this starts with Crystal Tang. Crystal Tang was very good in the last two games against Ottawa, and the Senators never had the puck. If Crystal Tang, the Norris Trophy guy, shows up, this is a different series. So far, he has not been good.
Rob Rossi here on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590, the Fan of the Score Television Network. It is Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Final tonight in Boston, and I am trying to picture, Rob, the hornet's nest that Bruins crowd is going to be whipped under. And I mean, the Bruins right now, everything's going their way. They are physically dominating. They are offensively dominating. I mean, how important is that first 5 minutes?
Oh, huge. But, you know, I actually think it works in the Penguins' favor, because I don't care what any team says, they let up in situations like this. And they come out strong, and then all of a sudden, if you can just sustain it, if you can take the body blow, you get a little momentum your way just because they haven't come out and scored. And I think this should bring out the best in the Penguins. Look, to me, we've complicated this a lot, certainly in Pittsburgh. At some point, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, and I think Sidney Crosby more than anybody, at some point, these all-time players come out and take over a game and win the game. And that has to be tonight, or we're going to be facing an offseason in Pittsburgh where there is, I would suspect, a lot of changes. And really, other than those two, nobody would be safe. So if they want to keep this thing together, they better figure out a way to come tonight and sustain, or take those body blows and figure out a way to sustain some pressure. I think one thing working in the Penguins factor that not a lot of people have pointed out, because Boston looks so good, is they and the Penguins are the most schizophrenic teams in the Eastern Conference. They can look dominant and then on a turn look like they're completely incapacitated. We saw it with Boston in round one. And one of the things that Toronto did, I think, effectively, when I talked to people that covered that series, is Toronto stopped trying to play physical after about game two of that series and started to use their speed and started to use their skill. And the Bruins, they had some trouble with that. From the Pittsburgh Penguins, I stopped trying to man up the Boston Bruins here, and I just start trying to play hockey. If you're going to go down swinging, you might as well go down swinging, doing your best.
Yeah, dance with the one that brung you. I thought they learned that from the series with the Flyers last year, but obviously such is not the case, at least through two games. And what a game of inches. Boston, but literally by the skin of their teeth, get by Toronto, and now they're the favorites to win the Stanley Cup if you went to Vegas right now. One of those guys, David Krejci, leaves all playoff scorers with 20 points. He had a league-high 23 in 2011 when they won the Cup. Is Krejci the most underrated hockey player in the world?
I would say yes, though. Pascal Dupuis is probably giving him a run for his money.
and I'm not
being facetious about that. I mean, you're talking about a guy who has scored, 45 goals the last 2 years in Pascal Dupuis, and not, I think two of them have been on the power play. He doesn't play there at all. And really last year with Crosby being injured, he didn't play with either Crosby or Malkin. But yeah, Krejci's been awesome. And, you know, he is the classic built for this type of year, this time of year, excuse me, situation. He's a beast physically. He plays a very steady game, a very straight line game. He's the type of guy every team would love to have. And if you're the Boston Bruins and you're going to build your team like they have, where you really don't have any superstars up front, you need one of these great, you need one of these very good players to be able to elevate his game to great when the time comes. And Krejci's able to do that. And I think right now, if you're looking at Conn Smythe in the Eastern Conference, he's probably it. It would be interesting to see if the Crosby and Malkins of the world take that as sort of a challenge.
Yeah.
Again, I think the fascinating thing about tonight, guys, is I think this whole series could turn with this game. I truly believe that, especially if the Penguins' big guns assert themselves. If they don't, I think we're going to have to ask difficult questions about what it's worth to keep those two together.
Well, and as you said just a few seconds ago, Rob, no one would be safe. And extending those questions to other parts of the organization, hypothetically, this series ends between now and Friday. Is Dan Bylsma okay, considering the push that was made?
I would think Ray Shero would not want to fire him. I would think Ray Shero would look at a guy who's the fourth fastest coach to 200 wins and who is dealing with a goaltending situation that I don't think anybody in their worst dreams thought Fleury would go this badly, this quickly. But Mario Lemieux is a guy who knows hockey, and he doesn't really assert his authority a lot, but I don't think he'd like to see his team ushered out in this type of fashion 2 years in a row, even though they won two rounds. So I will say this. I think if Dan Bylsma is going to lose his job, it would happen really within 3 days of the Penguins being eliminated. I think anything after that, Ray has sort of bought his GM or bought his coach some time. But, you know, they got a lot of decisions to make. I mean, they had talked openly at the beginning of this year of extending Malkin and Letang, and that's going to require big money for both guys. There's no doubt in my mind they're going to keep getting Malkin, because when you have Crosby and Malkin, you keep Crosby and Malkin. But especially they have nobody up front. They have nobody coming up front. And all of their guys are getting older. They're all in their 30s, the Letang or the Dupuis, the Cooks, the Kunitzes. But I could see a situation where perhaps Chris Letang is traded. I think Marc-Andre Fleury may have played his last game in Pittsburgh, barring an injury, and going forward. And I do think that there might be a surprise move out there that we don't see coming. And a name I'll throw out there is James Neal is a guy that I think has a very movable contract and would be very attractive. And if you're going to start shaking up the organization, why not really start shaking up the organization?
Very interesting. And the heat is on the Penguins as they go to Boston tonight. Rob, thanks for the conversation. Let's catch up soon.
Take care, guys.
All right, there is Rob Rossi of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review bringing up some interesting questions for a franchise that many thought were on the verge of getting back to where they once were.
Tim, allow me to start the Fleury James Neal to Toronto rumors. Allow me to be first out of the blocks. Maybe not Fleury, but I'd get in line for James Neal. Likes me some James Neal. I think he's a pretty solid player.
Yeah,
and he's right. He's not the most expensive guy on the block.
No, I know. Is he a hot and cold guy? And do you already have enough hot and cold guys?
And that would be part of the reason why.
Or you just
Pittsburgh
replace Kessel, who's not staying here long term anyway.
We don't think. Stranger things have happened. Who knows? But Rob said something at the end there, very interesting. There's no one coming up the pipe, up front, to support Malkin and Crosby. The one thing I always defended Brian Burke on, and literally the only thing, was when people would bring up garbage like the Pittsburgh model.
Yeah.
Like winning lotteries and getting Malkin and getting Crosby. What else has Ray Shero done? Let's look at this lineup.
Yeah.
From a development standpoint, has he done?
He lost a lot of them after the first cup.
He did.
Because of the salary.
But in terms of drafting, we're now knee deep in the waters of Ray Shero in Pittsburgh. And you just heard Rob acknowledge, what's the help from internally? Where's the help coming?
Yeah,
they're not seeing it.
I would suggest that
they have to go out and get Morrow and Ginla. And those were fine moves at the time.
Right.
But from an internal standpoint, I don't know. Is Ray Shero the best GM in hockey? I could have drafted Crosby number one.
Or Malkin. Last team to come back from 2-0 down in a conference final, the 1991 Pens against the Boston Bruins. However, they didn't do it by losing the first two at home.
That's the rub.
Which is what Pittsburgh faces right now. And should Leaf fans now be more upset at Rask for Raycroft than Seguin, Hamilton for Kessel? Because that one right now.
That's looking good too for them.
55 of 56 stops for Tuukka Rask in the first two wins of this series. When we come back, we'll discuss that. See if we can get Ray and President Obama and get you set for primetime sports. This is Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And the Score Television Network.
Now more of Tim and Sid on the Score and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Tim, the name of this group is the Hives.
Yep. It's intensifying as the show's gone on.
See, this is becoming a thing.
Yeah.
Do you need a lotion break? Like, what's happening right now?
No, the lotion that I have, I'm only allowed to apply once per day.
Yeah, ignore him.
You think so?
Just rub it on.
All over me?
Just like.
Would you like to do it?
Azzo, come in here. Oh, that was a quick note.
Getting you set for the Toronto Blue Jays and the San Francisco Giants. The last of their mini two-game set, R.A. Dickey, Barry Zito. So we will lose the radio audience, but we will continue on the Score Television Network a little later on. We began the hockey conversation with Rob Rossi and the Eastern Conference Finals. Game three tonight, Penguins and the Bruins. The Penguins facing an uncertain future. If you listen to Mr. Robert Rossi of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, and Duncan Keith right now.
Duncan Keith.
Facing an uncertain future, depending on who you talk to. Because there are several different opinions as to what should go on with Duncan Keith. What say you?
Duncan Keith last night took a hockey stick and hit a guy in the face.
With one hand.
With one hand. He had a hearing today at 1:30 mm-hmm. with the league. Double minor called on the play. He was extremely apologetic. And, I mean, there was an element of recklessness to it, Tim, that I think deserves a game. I'm not saying it was the most malicious thing I've ever seen. He was clearly apologetic. He tried to apologize initially and then did later. But it was just kind of, at some point, you got to have responsibility for the stick that you wield a little bit, right?
Yeah. A little. I would agree with that.
This isn't a black and white thing. This one's tough for me, but I think you know what I'm trying to say. You have to have some control over what you do.
Right.
Some.
Like Marty McSorley could have been aiming for Donald Brashear's shoulder, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He hit him in the head.
And it led to 6 o'clock news across North America.
Right. Now, I'm not sure that a two-handed slash and a one-handed pull are comparable. Not trying to suggest that. What I'm suggesting is that you're supposed to have control over your stick no matter what. Whether or not it was suspendable, that's where I'm waffling a little bit on this one. I honestly don't have, if he's suspended for a game, I don't have a problem with it. If he's not suspended, I don't have a problem with it. Because I think you could argue it either way.
Yeah.
The one hand on the stick makes it a lot different for me. Because A, you have less control over it with one hand on the stick, and two, or B, it doesn't hurt as much. It shouldn't hurt as much as taking a two-hander to a guy.
The pain threshold thing always a difficult discussion to have in terms of that moment, but I agree with you.
Oh, yeah.
It's a two-hander across the face.
Right.
It's bad.
Right. It's a lot worse.
It's worse than a one-hander across the face.
Correct.
If they suspend him a game, which I don't think they'll do, but if they suspend him a game, I'm all right with it. And it's a huge, huge moment in this series. If you take the number one blue liner on that Blackhawk team away from a Blackhawk team taking on a King team who have won 15 straight in that building in the postseason,
can the Los Angeles Kings win the Stanley Cup scoring two goals a game?
Yes,
they can.
Oh yeah, I think they can. Quick is not from this earth. He is not one of us, Tim. Jonathan Quick is an alien.
Do you understand what that means?
Yep.
They've scored 11 goals in their last, going into last night, they had scored 11 goals in their last seven games. No one should survive scoring 11 goals in seven games. You shouldn't have to juggle your lines and reassess what you're doing offensively with Mike Richards out. But somehow, Jonathan Quick, this team has not only been able to survive, they have thrived scoring two goals a game. Even last year, they averaged 2.85 goals per game on the way to winning the Stanley Cup. They have 32 goals in 16 games.
They don't score a lot.
32.
And they don't have to right now with this guy.
Two.
They don't have to. Well, it's insanity.
Well, they might have to. They don't have.
We'll see.
They don't have home ice advantage.
They've made it this far doing this. This is crazy.
No,
this is insanity.
I understand. That's not what I asked. I asked if they could win the cup.
Oh, and
scoring two goals again.
I think they can. I think they can. That Brian Bickle save last night with 3:12 to go was stupid.
Yeah.
That is.
It was better than
legend.
Pavelski.
It was.
Yeah.
That is. There's no way he should get to this.
Yeah.
It should have been a 2-2 hockey game. I mean, and that's, if the Kings go on and get it done, that's a turning point. That's potentially a turning point, I'd say.
Speaking of turning points, the Toronto Blue Jays are still looking for a turning point on their season. They have thought that they had several of them along the way. Today, they will turn to R.A. Dickey, who has posted an ERA of 8.53 while losing his last two outings to take on Barry Zito in a matchup of former Cy Young Award winners. On Sportsnet 590, The Fan, we will go there next, and we'll return to Tim and Sid on the Score Television Network after this.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of Tim and Sid on the Score and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet590.ca, I think, and the Score Television Network. I'm Sid Zucera. He's Tim McAuliffe. Tim McAuliffe has been literally fighting an itch for the last 2 hours.
I got caught. A couple people on Twitter have been sending
Well, of course
pictures.
You got caught because it's all show, and yeah. What are you going to do? At some point, you need to touch the area that is infected the most. That sounded a bit more disgusting than I intended.
Yep.
But okay, here's what I want to do.
Marlene sent in something. She said, take a Benadryl. It'll help with the itching. Now, it may or may not cause drowsiness. Some would argue that I am drowsy for most of the show anyway. And I decided since we only have about 20 minutes left, I took the Benadryl. Now, it might not start.
It might kick in at 4:10.
Right. That's what I was trying to say.
Which doesn't do us any good.
Or it might have just kicked in, and that's why I can't speak. Either way.
See, I was going to go down another road here.
Oh, you got another idea?
Another idea.
All right, I'm listening. I'm all ears.
Because you have that lotion that you've been told you cannot rub on yourself more than once a day.
Correct.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
You've already done it once today, correct?
Correct.
I say to hell with it, because what do doctors know?
Well, the first one, nothing.
Nothing, see?
The second two.
The evidence suggests...
The second two.
Doctors are a scam. So here's what I'm going to tell you. The lotion you were given, I think you should apply it on your body. I sure as hell am not going to do it. So I am sending out between now and 3:55 Eastern an open invitation to anyone inside this Rogers building who would like to come in here.
What are you doing?
And rub lotion on Tim McAuliffe. We're just trying to help you. I'm just trying to help you.
What is your problem?
Someone's going to come up here soon.
Yeah, and someone else is going to get a punch in the mouth.
Come on, man. We're just here to help you out. This is all about you.
The Baltimore Ravens.
There's already a lineup.
Visited. No, there isn't.
There's
absolutely no. Who would want to
come? Tim Lang's on his way up.
Who would want
a lotion?
Who would want to come up and rub what you've seen on my back?
Between now and 3:55, we're about to find out, Tim.
Oh.
I will concede defeat if no one does it. Oh. But I think we might get someone coming up here.
I will concede defeat. I was trying to change the subject by saying the Ravens visited the White House today. We talked to Brendan Iambadejo, all-pro linebacker from the Ravens last week, and discussed with him perhaps what would transpire at the White House. And they came close to getting Barack Obama to perhaps do the Ray Ray dance. Let's start with number two, Lance. And this is Barack Obama talking about Ray Lewis and maybe even leading to a little jig.
Ray retired on top, coming back from a tricep injury, which I believe was caused by that dance he does. But no, I'm not doing that dance today.
Dance, I said. Is it Ray? Like Ray's screaming at the
Ray
president.
Lewis thinks he's going to tell the president of the United States to do some ridiculous thing that he does.
Yeah.
And like, but in all seriousness, I think there's a part of his brain that thinks he can pull it off.
Oh, definitely.
Because Ray Lewis is never wrong. He's the man.
He was on the front of Sports Illustrated.
Sports Illustrated. Pope Ray.
Right.
The ego. That's all I'm arguing here. I think there's a part of Ray that thought, Barack Obama's about to do this because I'm Ray Lewis.
Can you play the end again? Play the whole thing again. Listen to the... I think he yells at the president of the United States.
Ray retired on top, coming back from a tricep injury, which I believe was caused by that dance he does. But no, I'm not doing that dance today.
Dance.
Who said that?
It was Ray.
Sounded like Ray.
It was Ray. It's about the day. Dance today. Like the ego of Ray Lewis.
That's personal, cuz.
It is. Now it's personal. Now he's voting Republican. Ray Lewis, he's not going to have that.
Can you do your Ray Lewis? I did the Alan Thicke that I didn't think was very good. Can I hear a little old school Sid 6-0?
It wasn't a lot of Alan Thicke that was very
good. No.
See, my Ray Lewis has deteriorated over time, much like him as a player.
Understood. Barack Obama, you always have to mention the quarterback. So why not Joe Flacco? Because he's the face of this franchise going forward.
Joe was named the game's MVP. Good timing with that contract up. Some good timing.
It's a funny guy, Barack Obama.
But you know that all the cheesy jokes go over a lot better when the President of the United States says them.
I know. Oh, I know.
Oh, that's good. Contract.
Remember when he sang the one event he went to? He started singing Marvin Gaye.
Oh, yeah.
The place went. It's like Frank Sinatra came back from the dead.
Yeah.
And the place just went bananas.
I'm no saxophone artist, but I'm pretty sure Bill Clinton wasn't as good as people made him out to be.
So Ray Lewis at the White House and the rest of his team, Ray Lewis now retired, having a good day, having a strong day, and congratulations to them because they've earned it because they won a Super Bowl and they played very, very well.
How much does Joe Flacco have to throw the ball next year? How much does that offense have to, because that defense will now be decimated?
A lot's going to be on Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco will be a lot more relaxed maybe than he was in previous years. Joe Flacco will be a little looser. Joe Flacco will let a rip, considering he backed up the Brinks truck
and got his cash.
And he got paid.
Straight cash, homie.
So I wouldn't, I know that team's a little different. I wouldn't completely rule out the Ravens yet in 2013.
I wouldn't, but I think they're going to have to throw it around the park because that defense is going to be awful.
Yeah, that makes, it makes sense. It makes sense. They won't be, I don't think they'll be as good.
Or run it a lot more to try and keep the offense on the field.
Yeah, Ray Rice is up for that.
At least early.
So congratulations to them. Tim, I got a couple things on the table here. I got Junior Hullett. Got a great women's soccer qualifying scoreline for you in preparation for the 2015 World Cup in this country. And TJ Grant, friend of the show, MMA fighter out of Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia, who won a huge fight a couple of weeks ago. And I now know where and when for TJ Grant. So I will leave it up to you.
Let's go Canadian soccer for 200, Alex. And go Junior Hullett to start. Now, I kind of caught a little bit of what happened on this show yesterday, but for those who didn't, would you like to recap the way you went on Junior Hullett, who is a young Canadian trying to determine who he's going to play his international football for and has yet to make that decision? Is he eligible for three different teams or is
eligible
it just Jamaica,
for
Canada?
The English national team?
Yeah.
Eligible for the Jamaican national men's soccer team. And the Canadian men's soccer team.
And right now, he's not good enough to make the English team?
No, they want to win.
Yeah.
So he's probably not in the picture. There was like about a three-month period where you thought, maybe?
Yeah, at the start of the year, there was a lot of buzz
maybe,
around.
But this
Junior
guy...
at QPR.
This guy couldn't crack a lineup that got relegated.
Right.
So this is the kind of talent. I mean, he's a talent. Is he English national team talent? He's not.
So you're already banging on him. Continue. Why don't you finish it off?
The Jamaican national team is still in play.
Yeah.
They're winning games now. I don't know how hungry they are to add more guys because they have a good start to the Hex for 2014. And then there's us. There's Canada.
Right.
The last time we saw the men's Canadian national soccer team in a game that mattered, they let up 8 goals in Honduras.
Mm-hmm.
So... that's the situation.
Repeat that a little bit.
They let
the last game that they played that meant anything.
They let up 8 goals in Honduras.
They allowed 8 goals
in
Honduras.
Yep.
And your take was this guy shouldn't even be allowed on the pitch?
TFC's training yesterday.
Yeah.
I just found it very funny how when this country needs a young man of his talent, he is nowhere to be seen. And when his leisure time is here, hey, TFC, how you doing? Give me some time? Sure, no problem. Comes in and trains. Now, I'm getting the impression you don't agree with that, and that's fine. But I'm trying to stick up for guys who actually went through customs and went to a very difficult place in this world and fought for the cause and bled for the cause.
Understood.
And out of respect to them, I thought it was a little weak.
Understood. How many of them have choices?
I didn't know. I don't know exactly how many of them had choices. I'm sure a few of them had choices.
How many of them, if given the choice, would suit up for an organization that has been as much a colossal failure as the men's side of Canada soccer has been for, the last, two decades?
Since 86. Well, I shouldn't say that. Since the Gold Cup.
Since the Gold Cup.
Our great memory.
Craig Forrest.
Mexico. Right. Craig Forrest has taken over. Hashtag Gold Cup.
That place has been run into the ground. Has Canadian soccer not been run into the ground?
Yes.
What good has come from the men's side of Canadian soccer?
Since that Gold Cup victory?
And that Gold Cup victory was on the shoulders of a couple of really good players.
Let's be honest.
Craig Forrest, a fantastic goalkeeper.
Craig Forrest was unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable.
So I don't understand what our expectations are of people with a choice to choose something that has been as colossally bad as Canadian soccer and in the past Canadian basketball, other than the pride of wearing the maple leaf, which I pat them on the back for. I pat Craig Forrest on the back for bleeding red. I pat Dwayne Di Rosario on the back for bleeding red. But no one in this country cares outside of 80,000 rabid fans.
What do you mean 80,000 rabid fans?
80,000 rabid soccer fans, rabid basketball fans. No one cares.
From soccer itself, I'm not going to completely disagree with that.
Where's Junior Hoylett's best advertising revenue going to come from? England, Jamaica, or Canada? Rank them in order.
Well, I think we know the order.
Right.
It's not a difficult question.
Right.
But he's not getting called up by England.
No, but there was an opportunity, perhaps.
It was a very short window.
Understood. What would you choose?
To continue to hold out for something that will never happen or play international soccer? I don't know what I would choose. I might choose play international soccer.
So you can choose for Jamaica, too.
Could. Yeah. They haven't brought him up yet, have they?
Oh, I completely understand. Yeah. But you're completely admitting that if you had the choice between England, legit chance, and Canada, you would take
Tim, the whole point of yesterday was this. It's not that Junior Hoylett is refusing to play for Canada. My problem with yesterday was, in theory, one of the biggest problems for Canadian soccer is the lack of professional feeding systems and a lack of a place where really our kids close to home can get kind of good enough where Canada can get into a hex, correct?
Yeah, but you're pointing to TFC.
Listen.
That feeder system was supposed to feed Canada.
Well, we could do it. It hasn't fed anybody.
Yeah.
But my point is this. To see this guy yesterday on one of those training grounds, which is in theory a feeder system or should be for kids that want to play for this country, he's made his choice. That's fine. To see him out on that training field yesterday and being coy with the media on top of it after, I found ridiculous. This is a sanctuary for young Canadian future talent.
Right.
This guy has more than made his choice. That's his choice. Keep that guy the hell away from Canadian professional training grounds where some kid in the future is actually going to want to play for Canada. That was the point. It's like he's waving it in our face, man. That was my problem with it. Yeah. My problem is if he wants to hold out for England, having not cracked a lineup for a team that was just relegated, that's his choice. But to walk out to a Canadian professional training ground was ridiculous to me.
Get out.
It's not even a trial.
Get out.
He's not going to come close to playing for that team.
So he's not allowed to play soccer in Canada where he's from?
He wasn't even playing.
Unless he puts a leaf on his chest.
He was out there because he was bored. He was out there because he was on a Canadian training ground, a guy who says thanks but no thanks. And I got a problem with that.
I grew up with very good soccer players who were getting invites to the Canadian national team and tryouts. And you know how much support they got from the Canadian national team?
Zero.
Zero.
Yep.
None, nil. And then we bitch later oh, well, why didn't this guy, why didn't Greg Ruzetsky play tennis under the Canadian? Because you did nothing for him for his entire life. And someone says, we'll support you. And he says, all right, Lennox Lewis. Someone says, we'll actually get you a sponsorship. And he says, okay, because that's how I make my living. People want to pick and choose later after the game has been played. Junior could argue, you could have got me when I was 16 or 15.
And there's a lot of guys in that boat. There's a lot of guys in that boat.
And I'm saying that if more guys, I'm not saying that more guys should do it. I'm just saying if more guys had the choice, I think you would see a lot more guys do it if they had the choice.
Guys can have the choice, Tim. I'm not saying they can't. And, well, and every reason you laid out is valid. This guy's kind of made his, is my point. He's made his.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to train? You want to fly yourself for the Canadian soccer media and then be coy about it after? You keep that somewhere else. Make his choice. He's fine. I'm fine with choices.
Yeah.
He made his.
Well, he hasn't made his.
Well, no, he made his.
No, he
his choices. I'm going to wait for something a hell of a lot better. And if I feel like it one day, I might say yes to you.
I'm going to wait.
That's
for the,
his choice.
I'm going to wait for the team that doesn't lose 8-0 in a must win game.
And that's a choice he's allowed to make.
Yeah.
But stay the hell off fields that matter in this country. One of the few fields that matter in this country. So, that's what bothered me. He can make his choice, and he has. But stay the hell off those fields.
So certain winger on the Portuguese national team can't play in Brazil?
What are you talking about?
There's guys in the Portuguese national team that are of Brazilian descent, aren't there?
Not right now, no. Who are we talking about?
Who's the quick winger?
Well, Nani is Portuguese colonized. Ronaldo's Portuguese.
I thought Nani was from Brazil.
Well, Deco was from Brazil. Deco is Brazilian.
Deco is, so he can't go back.
And Pep was Brazilian.
Yeah.
So those guys don't play because the Brazilian national team is the hardest team to get into in the world. That's why those guys go somewhere else. That's why every Brazilian gets nationalized by someone
else.
I know what you're saying.
And Junior Hoylett's better than those guys relative to Canada. All right. I'll give you that.
You know what I'm saying, though, right? Like,
not really.
No, but it's...
We can agree to disagree on this.
Listen, he can make his choice.
Yeah.
This argument's not about choices. Make your choice. But take off. That's my point. Make your choice. Stay the hell off Canadian training fields when you made it. That's my point.
Can you imagine if Pep was like, same in Brazil, not allowed to go on the fields?
Pep is a starting defender for Real Madrid and still couldn't really break that Brazilian team.
Well, I'm
like,
sure
that's how crazy.
I'm sure eventually he could have. Eventually, but he had made his choice. He'd already played for Portugal. Yeah.
Again, I'm not arguing choices. I'm arguing optics, and that pissed me the hell off yesterday.
It's too bad we couldn't get into Cindy LaRue.
Sydney LaRue?
Sydney LaRue.
Oh, we don't have time for Sydney LaRue, do we?
No. Or TJ Grant, but congratulations on the...
He's got a fight. He's going to fight in Milwaukee. TJ Grant, lightweight title in Milwaukee. Benson Henderson, I believe it's UFC 164. So good luck to TJ Grant.
But we were hoping Toronto.
I know it's in Milwaukee.
Or Boston.
Like in...
And he's going to Milwaukee.
MMA purgatory. He's going to Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Yeah.
With Laverne and Shirley.
All right. He's going to make it after all.
Could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to be here with us, and we appreciate it.
Oh, how do we end the show? I forgot. You've been listening to Tim and Sid on sportsnet590.ca.
Sorry,
I feel like I took the better
job. You're wound up.
I'm not wound up. Just Junior Hullet is a terrible human being. Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, the Fan of the Score, television network.